All right, our next speaker is Wes Benedict. Wes is the former and current executive director of the Libertarian National Committee. Before then, he was the executive director of the Libertarian Party in Texas. When he took over the party, it was basically all but defunct, and he took on the Herculean task of getting the Texas Party back on the ballot. When I say Herculean, he helped collect 80,000 signatures in a 75-day period. That's 1,000 signatures a day. Oh, and to make it more fun, if you voted in the primary, you can't sign that petition. Texas is one of four states where Osnader never been on the ballot when he's run for president. Wes's efforts that motivated even the state chair. Many states run more candidates than Texas. They average 150 a year, and 2014 will be no different. Wes has a degree in mechanical engineering from the University of Texas in Austin, and he has an MBA from Michigan. He's here to tell us today about freedom rising. Please welcome Wes.
Thank you. And first, I want to thank everyone for coming out to this convention, and especially thank Bob Johnson and the rest of the Libertarian Party of Maryland for organizing this and putting it together. So how about a quick round of applause for Bob? And
here, here, here.
Sorry, whoever I left out helped put it together. I know even the treasurer back there who has to collect the money and count it and report it and not steal it and answer where it is. Treasurer is one of the hardest jobs in the Libertarian Party. I've done small ones a few times. I always hated it because I don't like keeping up with all those records all the time. So special thanks to the treasurer and anyone who's been a campaign treasurer for other people. I was here about 5 years ago, and I've found that it's nice to come to these conventions. One of the most important lessons I learned was at that convention 5 years ago. It wasn't something I learned the first time ever, but it's something that I keep reminding myself about and reminding myself to tell others. And that was from one of the speakers, Paul Jacob. Was anybody here? I think I was. Was that in 2009? Y'all probably know him more than I do. But I was just here as a guest speaker. He was speaking, and he went through this routine. But his speech was the Ten Commandments of Liberty Activists or Libertarian Activists or something like that. And I wasn't able to catch all ten. But I paid very close attention to the first two things he said, and they meant so much to me, and I do keep trying to remember those. And the first thing he said was, number one, close it for the camera. That's not what he said. Number one, I don't have any good action shots of me speaking, so I wanted to see if I could get away with number one. First thing was do something. So libertarian activists, do something. Whether you run for office, come to a convention, put out flyers, call the radio, design a new flyer, make a speech, do something. That's the number one thing. A lot of people just sit at home, hate the government, go play football, fishing or whatever. That's all nice, but do something. Do something for liberty. We don't know for sure what is the most important thing or what's the most successful thing or the secret to success overnight. Because we're still learning, we're still trying things, but I'm pretty certain that doing nothing is not the solution. The second thing that he said was, does anybody remember that speech? Okay, so I'm glad I'm telling you something that I think is important. It really is important to me. The second thing was, don't stop other people from doing what they're doing. A lot of libertarians do spend a lot of time fighting with each other over what's the most important thing to do. Should I run for office? Don't run for office. Run for Congress. No, we shouldn't have people run for governor. Shouldn't run for Congress. Just run for nonpartisan races. Or no, we shouldn't bother with nonpartisan races that are local. Run for governor or run for president. We're just, do that. Or don't run for any office at all. Let's just do ballot initiatives, or let's just go to city council meetings and tell them why, they should do this or do that. I don't know the most important thing to do, but I know that we need to do a lot. Whatever that thing is, we need to do a lot more of it. And rather than spend your time tearing down other libertarians, even the really evilest libertarians, the ones who go join other parties, I could spend my time telling people why becoming a Republican precinct chairman and voting for Ron Paul is the most awful thing you can do. And they could spend their time telling Libertarian Party candidates and volunteers, no, you shouldn't be in the Libertarian Party, go join the Republican Party. But I don't want to spend my time tearing down those people, and I don't want them to spend their time tearing down us. Do whatever it is you think is right, and don't spend your time stopping others. Anybody heard of a recent candidate for governor in Virginia? Anybody know his name?
Yes.
Rob Sarvis?
Right.
You heard about that? The last guy that ran for governor in Virginia, his name's William Redpath. You ever heard of him? You probably got a lot of fundraising letters from him, too, and emails. He ran, I think it was 2002, and he got 0.7 or 0.8% for governor. I definitely appreciate him running. He's one of the greatest libertarians in the party. He's worked the hardest, more than most folks. He's probably come to Maryland and collected signatures. I don't know. Has he?
Yeah.
He goes around the country doing that. Thousands and thousands. He's done that in other states as well. He came to Texas when we had our petition drive, collected a lot of signatures, paid his own way to get there and do it. He also, who do you think is the biggest donor to the Libertarian Party? Might be Bill Redpath, since I'm talking about. I don't think he's the biggest donor, but he's one of the top, and he's the biggest one on the board right now. So not only does he put his time and talents into things and run for office and get signatures so others can, he has given over $95,000 to the Libertarian National Committee in his lifetime. He got 0.8% running for governor, and he felt it was the right thing to do. He felt he made a difference. He ran for Senate soon after that. But later, last year, I used to work for the Libertarian headquarters. I took some time off, worked for a PAC, and I decided I want more people running for office everywhere. And let me start with Virginia, because that's one of the few states that had elections last year where it was also legal for the PAC that I formed to operate in that state. And I wanted somebody to run for governor. It's running for governor. I wanted people to run for everything. I help recruit folks for state legislative offices also. But I wanted especially someone to run for governor because it's a high-profile thing, and a lot of people pay attention to it. Most voters, even a lot of Libertarian voters, they don't know who their state legislator is. They don't. More of them know who their congressman is, but a lot of regular people don't know who their congressman is either. They don't know who their city councilman is. They pay attention to president. They know who the president is, believe it or not. They know who's running for president. They often pay attention to who's running for governor, and they pay attention to who's running for mayor, but not even as much attention to that unless it's something funny or interesting or high profile about it. But a lot of them pay attention to governor. And so I think it's especially good to have libertarians running for governor. And my goal, when I did my part to help recruit a candidate for governor in Virginia, was to improve on that 0.8%. And I told this guy, Rob Sarvis, and I didn't find him personally. Others found out we were trying to help someone get on the ballot. They found this guy, Rob, and I talked to him. I'm like, okay, I want you to run, but you know what the last guy got? You know, 0.8%. This guy, Rob Sarvis, has a math degree from Harvard or something. He's got a law degree as well, I think. And I don't know, maybe he's got an economics degree now from George Mason University. Smart guy. I know you're a smart guy. I don't want to trick you into doing something that you don't want to do, but I do want you to run for office. I think it makes a difference. And I think you will beat 0.8%, but I don't want to be, you know, unrealistic about what you can do. And secretly, I hoped he would get 2%. So, you know, 0.8 to 2%, it's not big growth. It's not the most remarkable thing. But never did I ever dream he would get 6% and fault me for whatever, not being dreaming big enough and bold enough. But I was very pleased when he got that 6%. I do still to this day think that the biggest way to promote the party and to implement change and to cause change for most of us libertarian activists is to run for office as a libertarian and get out there. And if you're not able to run for office or not willing to run for office, if you help others and convince them to run, that's a great thing to do as well. And if you missed the time frame for that, I think it's too late for new candidates here in Maryland. What I would really hope that you do is help the candidates who are running. Help them one way or another. And then are you running for governor? You're running for governor, right?
Yes,
and
I am.
Sean Quinn. Okay, for governor.
Please make sure you grab one of my cards before you leave.
I will grab one. And I want to thank you especially for running for governor. It's a big time commitment. How much are you getting paid to do this?
You mean how much am I spending?
That's what I meant to say. How much are you spending? You're running for Attorney General? Tell us your name again.
Leo DeMouse.
Leo DeMouse. Okay, running for Attorney General. Thank you very much for doing that. It's a lot of hard work. And even if you're not working hard, still thank you for doing whatever you're doing. It's a lot better than doing nothing. It's not always easy to find ways to put volunteers to work, and it's not always easy to recruit volunteers, but I encourage you to help these guys even if they don't have great things for you to do. A lot of times what you can do is go to their website, print out whatever information they have, and pass it out in your neighborhood. Hopefully these guys will get organized, better organized, and have their own brochures and literature that they can help get to you to pass out. That was one of the things I did with the PAC when I was taking my break. I worked for PAC, and my goal is to get people to do something, and it's... Ever since I've been an activist, I started out just a donor, just like most of you people, paid $25 for the party and get a newsletter, didn't do anything. Then I just started volunteering for the county, eventually was a county chair, ran for office a few times. I ran for county commissioner once, spent a couple $100, got 5% in Austin, Texas. Travis County was the place. I never really knew what I was doing the whole time. I'm not an expert like a lot of those folks. I'm a mechanical engineer. Back then I was scared to speak into groups. I'm still scared to speak in front of groups, but I just do it anyway and make it happen. But never have I felt like I had the perfect way of doing things. But I just try and get something done, get somebody out there. And a lot of libertarians love to think about a yard sign and what it should look like, and I like to think about it myself, even though it's probably not all that important. But my goal was form a PAC and help candidates have a yard sign. It may not be the colors they want. It may not be the design they want. But what I did in Texas was make signs similar to this and gave them, all you had to do was tell me your name, and we printed signs for about 60 different candidates for state legislature and other offices in Texas. And the goal was to give people a sign they could put up. And when you order them in bulk, for lots of candidates at one time, they're almost all the same. They only cost a few dollars each. If you try and go buy 10 signs for your yard, for your campaign, they may cost you $300 for 10 signs or $200 for 10 signs. Well, these ended up costing $3 or $4 because we got 20 signs for 50 different candidates. So I do hope that I can help make more of that happen around the country and around, and also in Maryland and other places. Our PAC that I had formed can't operate in a lot of states. There's state laws that prohibit that, and I think Maryland's probably one of those. I don't know for sure. But if you haven't done anything and you're trying to decide what to do to help get volunteers active, I encourage you as a candidate, get some yard signs, get some bumper stickers. They don't have to be perfect. I especially like when they have the word libertarian on there. Because after you know, if all your campaign sign says is John Smith, and there's about 50 people named John Smith running for city council and mayor and all these other things, and everyone's driving around, they kind of start tuning all that out. But I think that word libertarian catches their eyes. We ran for all kinds of offices in Texas, from city council, mayor, state representative, governor, you name it, and put signs up all over that just said vote libertarian. They didn't even have candidate sign, candidate names on there. And eventually one guy called me, wants to meet, and a lot of people do that. They send me emails, hey, I want to meet, talk about the party, and I'm always like, it's good, but okay, I'm about to waste 3 more hours. And and maybe he'll join or maybe not. I don't know, but it's going to be a 3-hour project. This particular time, I met with a guy, and he said, I'm interested in a party. What can I do to help? And I'm like, well, run for office, blah, 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 like I've been telling you people. later, he goes, after about 10 or 15 minutes, well, what else? I don't have a lot of time. I could donate money or give some advice, this or that. I'm like, well, my favorite libertarian in Texas is a $250 a month donor. He pledges $250 a month. That just made me so happy when he agreed to do that. Would you do that? And he goes, yeah, I'll do that. $250 a month. He said, what would you do if we gave the party $1 million? What would you do with $1 million? And I was like, my heart started beating. I'm like, okay, I'm about to screw something up royally.
Carry your bags.
A lot of stuff. I've been begging, working my butt off. I worked full time for the party in Texas and paid myself very. I know most people get paid nothing. You're volunteers, and I appreciate that. I've volunteered many, many years, but I was a paid staffer in Texas and not paid much. And I'm like, man, I wish we could get this guy on board, because I've been begging and getting $25 at a time. Raising a few dozen thousand dollars, and so that was interesting when he said that. I probably told some of you this story before, but I ended up leaving the Libertarian Party of Texas 2 days before I met with that guy, and he talked about all his money. I was like, man, what if I quit at the wrong time? he ended up giving a few $100,000 to efforts in Texas, including the Libertarian Party of Texas, and a PAC that was helping, and that was just that was great. So I used to run around bragging about how much money I'd raised for Libertarian Party of Texas. The next guy raised way more. The Libertarian Party of Texas is still doing great. That same guy later contributed $400,000 to PACs that I set up. One helped get Rob Sarvis on the ballot in Virginia. Another was the Super PAC. Some of you may have heard of a Super PAC. We helped put out Gary Johnson signs. Now, Gary Johnson ended up doing a great job of putting together materials on their own. I was concerned about previous campaigns where they ran out of campaign literature for volunteers. But I never want volunteers who can't get their hands on signs and brochures. We at least need to flood the volunteers with as much as they put up. Our party's been around 40 years. We had our 40-year anniversary a couple years ago, so I guess it's 42 years. I wish I could tell you everything's great, we're growing, everything's wonderful. If you'll get an annual report from me if you're a national party member any day now. I think Bob said he got his today or yesterday in the mail. It shows things have been about steady for about 5 or 6 years. It's not great. It's been steady. I do think we have great opportunities to grow. I'm especially pleased that there's at least 200 millionaires out there who are giving hundreds of thousands of dollars at a time. And I haven't been told no by many 100 millionaires. I probably need to spend more time asking 100 millionaires to get involved with the party or other organizations. I have been told no by one. That was... And I'll just say it because I've written about him in my book. John Mackey. I met with him once. Did you give us a bunch of money? No. That didn't work.
Can you send one of those guys my way?
I haven't given up on him. I'm especially pleased that Rob Sarvis, candidate for governor, there's a lot of situations about it. Unpopular Republican and Democratic candidates tearing each other up. He got 6%. Maybe he's running for U.S. Senate again. Maybe he won't get 6% again. But from 0.8 to 6% is great growth. I'm very happy about that. Here in Maryland, your candidate for governor, y'all are still trying to break 1%.
Right?
I Guy ran for Congress, Lucas Overby, in a special election a few weeks ago in Florida. From what I've seen, I'm not sure I have all the data on that, but I think usually we do worse in special elections.
We do.
Than on November election days.
We do.
We do. Okay. He got 5%. That's a good sign. We usually get more like 3% for Congress. Top two in California, supposedly supposed to destroy the Libertarian Party in California. A guy just ran in a special election for state senate in California, Libertarian. There's about five on the ballot. They're all five in the same race. So there's, you know, two. I don't remember the numbers of everyone, but multiple Democrats, multiple Republicans, and a Libertarian. He got 6% in that race. That's a very good sign. Gary Johnson recently got over 1 million votes for president. That is a good sign. We need bigger, better signs, but I think, you know, sometimes I get in trouble for estimating what people are going to get. I'm not going to estimate your vote percentage. I think you will do better than the last campaign.
Well, we're too many voters.
Okay, well,
that means we'll be in the governor's office in November.
I'd love to be in. I think you will do better than ever for Libertarian for governor here in Maryland. And if you do, that's going to be, whether you win or not, to me it's going to be a win if you get better than the time before. And even if you don't get better than the time before, I think the Libertarian Party makes an impact on public policy. Everyone used to laugh at us. I was scared to join the party when I heard about all the drug stuff. I was brought up more mainstream, average, normal, conformist, all that stuff. I was not a born rebel and crazy.
But what if?
People used to say we're crazy because we want to legalize marijuana. Well, I want to legalize marijuana. I say it all the time now. I said it in 2002 when I ran for office. It's not a crazy idea anymore. It's winning. It's winning at the ballot box. It's winning in state legislatures. Even Rick Perry, candidate, you know, the governor for 12 years in Texas, is saying, well, we're looking at ways to cut the amount of people in jail. Well, I'm not for legalizing it, but we're looking at, you know, lower penalties. You know, he's still saying that. They're bragging about closing two jails in Texas instead of how many new jails they've been building, which is what they used to brag about all the time. I think a lot of that is because libertarians have been up there saying why it's wrong to have that war on drugs. It's wrong to put poor people in jail because they happen to live in neighborhoods where they're more likely to get smoking pot. Meanwhile, all these rich kids are smoking pot at the same amounts, and they just never seem to get thrown in jail. That's wrong. It's wrong for Democrats to support that war on drugs. Same thing with Republicans. Republicans often won't listen to a Democrat where they might listen to a Libertarian instead. And when we explain, well, wait a minute, you want lower taxes? You want smaller government? Well, lower taxes means spending less money on the war on drugs. Lower taxes means not building so many jails, not throwing so many people in jail. So, to me, I hope we win every election and 98% of the offices are filled by Libertarians one day. But even if all we do is get 10% in every race for the next 100 years as Libertarians, if we stick true to our principles and are out there working hard, I think we'll be having a positive impact on public policy, on the federal government at the state level and at the local level. So, I think you'll break the record, but even if you don't, appreciate you running and putting yourself out there. Who else is running for office this time? That's right, Arvin. I knew you were running for Congress, and you're running for county council. And tell us your name real quick.
David Cavallaro.
And where's the election? Where do you get?
And
who else is running? Okay. Are those partisan races? I should know this by now that I keep moving my
track.
And who's run for office before also?
Yeah.
So raise your hand if you're running now and you've run before.
Nope.
That's what I've been telling you to do. You've run before. So I want to take, I want to open it up for questions in a few minutes. But I want to leave, I want to guide some of the first questions and talk about the National Party a little bit. Try and hold your first question to like 15 or 20 seconds. I'm going to start with the short questions and then ask for some of the longer questions. But I am interested in your perceptions of the national headquarters and what the National Party does and what I do and our staff does. I hear the most awful things and nice things about us as well. So you're really not going to, if you tell me the National Party is worthless, we're draining our money, we take money from Maryland, it goes to D.C., it goes in my pocket, and we're just wasting it up and done, feel free to say that. I've heard it 100 times. If you say you appreciate our press releases, they're inspiring everyone, that's why I joined the party and that's why I'm running for office, feel free to say that. If you think our website sucks, if you think our brochures suck, if you think our brochures suck, I'll agree with you most stringently, and I want to fix that. But quick questions: what do you think about the National Party, and what questions do you have for me, or suggestions do you have? And then I'll go ahead and go right here.
Situation on the new building.
We've been raising money to move to a new office. We pay, who knows how much rent we pay? If you've been getting our fundraising letters, you probably know. We pay like $12,000 a month. It's something outrageous. It's insane. It's in the infamous Watergate building. We're looking to move to a place in Alexandria. We've actually now signed contracts. It's like, I would say we're definitely moving, but I don't want to jinx the deal. But we've signed contracts. The people aren't, we're not nitpicking each other. We've actually given $50,000 in different deposits that you do. We're supposed to sign on April 25th for a new office. So I really think it's going to happen. I'm so confident. And people used to say it's definitely going to happen like 3 years ago. I'm like, yeah, I tell staff, I'd say 50%. You know, they say definite, I mean 50%. Yeah. It's so likely now. I've actually been looking at an apartment to rent and signing something. I haven't moved in yet. But I don't like to commute. I like to, you know, I do work hard, believe it or not, even though whatever you might have heard. I work hard, so I don't like to spend all my time in the car and waiting for the metro and all that stuff. So I'm going to move close to the new office. But I do think April 25th, we're going to sign a document. Jeff Neal's got a plane ticket. He's going to fly here. We've got a meeting space, all that. So I really, really, really think we're going to close the deal. It'll save us about $5,000 a month in expenses. The mortgage is only, I forget all the numbers. The mortgage is much less than $5,000, but we're going to have to pay some other taxes and stuff. But on average, the total will be saving about $5,000 a month. So I think it's going to happen. It's about the same amount of space, and I'm looking forward to it. Another question. Yeah.
I really like the coalition work, for example, to Stop Watching Us. Do you have any idea of where the National Party is going on future coalition work in the immediate, you know, 6 months, 8 month time frame?
I'm going to have to think about it for a second while I'm talking, but I will say that worked out very well, and it was nice to have Gary Johnson come out and be a featured speaker. Mm-hmm. Carla Howell helped make a lot of that happen. She helped get Gary Johnson up in front of people. Those kind of projects do take a significant amount of time, and so I can't promise we'll do a lot of that. We kind of hope that our affiliates and candidates do some of that. But I'm open to suggestions on things like that, and whenever... often it's when it seems like it's kind of easy for us to make a significant impact without working too hard. We kind of jump. Maybe that's called jumping in front of a parade or something bad about it or whatever, joining a bandwagon. But we'll try. Do you have suggestions for some?
Well, I firmly believe in a balanced approach. And so, you know, that the Stop Watching Us kind of goes a little bit to the left.
Yeah.
I'd rather have something go to the right. Maybe guns, maybe something. It's got to be something topical where other organizations are actually doing something.
Yeah.
Obviously, the NSA stuff still has a lot of failures. So, you know, getting that act, you know, congressional advocacy done. Mm-hmm. Marijuana is also very strong. The Maryland Party is involved in the coalition with the marijuana policy people and the ACLU and the NAACP.
Yeah.
But I just like it because I really don't care so much about the issue as long as it's a libertarian issue. I care about putting our people in touch with other groups that share a special interest.
Yeah. Yeah.
And having and building experience with our people, but also just connections. Politics is about social connections. And
yeah. And I tell you, if you've been, and we've done quite a bit with the Tea Party. If you're looking for something, when it comes to the when they were more against cutting taxes and spending, so we've done stuff with different groups. I ran for Austin City Council once. The best I ever got was 35%. That was pretty good. If I had known I was going to get that close, I might have tried harder. But that was the first time I ran. But after doing that, I ran. Actually, ended up running three times. But after running the first time, some issues came up. One was a smoking ban in Austin, and after having been a candidate, it's not you're not famous. Very few people know you after the election's over, but a lot of the hardcore activists who are pushing stuff do know about you and heard of you. And so, a lot of us libertarians, we don't all smoke, but we think it's wrong to ban smoking in private bars. And so, a lot of us join that effort. And all these bar owners, lots of activists in the Austin area, a lot of musicians joined the Don't Ban Smoking in Bars effort, and they knew libertarians were there. A lot of them found out about libertarians because we were there helping. And we did work. We didn't just show up. We did work. I put out tons of flyers myself. We lost, but it was 51.5% to 48.5% in initiative. The ban smoking passed 51.5%. And I think if libertarians hadn't joined in and helped, it would have lost a lot further. If a few more had joined in, we might have actually beat that. There's Austin and in Texas in general, a lot of libertarians are for privatized roads and privatized everything. I'm for it. I'd privatize every raindrop before it hit the ground if it was done in a free market situation. But that's not what was happening in Texas. They're just sticking on another tax booth. It's not really private transportation. They're just, let's just put some more taxes everywhere. You know, let's privatize, you know, your public water also. We'll just put another meter at the end of, you know, in your bathroom and charge you in each of the bathroom, the kitchen, and at the main. So, no, they were just taking more tax money. A lot of libertarians had to explain, look, this is not a private thing. This is this is not privatizing roads. It's not free market competition. It's just another tax. And libertarians often are for toll roads and private roads, but that's not what's going on here. We had an impact. We fought a bunch of those. And then it was a lot of people who had run for office as libertarians who were making the speeches at county commission meetings, at state transportation commission meetings, and that's what a lot of libertarians can do as well. But joining coalitions, the National Party, I mean, I work there. It's hard to get the National Party to do something. It's hard for me to do something. I'm busy doing all this stuff. Everyone at the, you know, there's six, maybe we have eight people in, eight people work for the party. There's 50 state affiliates. There's 100 candidates who think their race is the most important in the country this year. They all want there to be the most, help more than anyone. And so we're spread thin. And I would encourage you to don't wait on us. Form some coalitions here and do stuff. And you don't always have to get your party to endorse it. It's like, you know, Bob's stubborn and he won't endorse it, refuses to do anything. It's like, it doesn't have to be Libertarian Party of Maryland join such and such coalition. It can be you and you and you are at the coalition meeting. You're a candidate or you're a county chair or whatever, or you're just a libertarian and you're for such and such. You know, you do it on your own. Other questions? Yeah.
What if these candidates get like a media outlet where people can control like TV station, radio, syndicated radio?
Yeah, y'all were controlling that one in the back corner.
Well, but I mean, a national wide syndicated TV show.
I don't know.
We don't have our message filtered by that.
Yeah. A lot of people are doing that on a small scale, I think. You know, there's
I don't want to call Alex Jones a libertarian if that offends anyone, but he, you know, he started his own network. I guess you got to be outspoken, crazy, loud, whatever. If we have more libertarians doing that, that channel will naturally form. I don't think there's enough money in it yet, but people are trying it. I mean, there's I'm going to try and think of the name, but
JAG TV.
What's that?
JAG TV.
Yeah. Someone's trying to create one called JAG TV. I think what we need is more libertarians doing more stuff, and they'll start being more libertarian-oriented shows and stations that just start happening. I mean, John Stossel says libertarian a lot on his show. He doesn't say join the Libertarian Party. I get in trouble for that, but at least he's saying libertarian. Yeah.
Well, I'd like to read the
There's a lot of talk radio hosts. Some are fake libertarians and some are real libertarians, but there's a lot of real ones, and I'm not going to try and say them off the top of my head, just around the country who say, I'm a libertarian. And even Neil Bortz, he's now a Republican again, and there's a lot of problems with him, but he used to say all the time, vote libertarian. I'm voting libertarian. He was on in Austin, Texas all the time, and I would hear it, and I'd be like, I can't believe he's saying that. I mean, I appreciate that. Now, he stabbed us in the back, and I stabbed him with, you know, I did, I'm poking a dragon or whatever, but so they're out there, and I think there's more and more of them. Yeah.
Well, I'd like to talk about advertisements and so forth.
Okay.
If I can. Something that, and I realize this is quite a bit to do, but when Robert Sarvis ran, something that I remember hearing his wife, Astrid, who, by the way, for those who don't know, is a pediatrician, she did an advertisement.
Mm-hmm.
What I think that might have, where I think she might have shown, if I'm using the right word, is if she did an advertisement telling people how much government regulation is hurting Virginia's economy and how having Robert in would help the...
You're saying you think she should have done an ad that said that?
Yeah. I mean,
It may be. I definitely don't know the optimal thing for everything.
Okay, I'm just taking that one.
Yeah.
I realize we're limited as far as resources go, but it's just a thought. And now that he's running for Senate, that might be an avenue to pursue.
Yeah.
What I'm saying is, some people can use their talents. Or their personal talents to speak and discuss how government is intruding on those on those aspects of life.
In the healthcare.
Well, not only healthcare, anything. Someone owns a business.
Yeah.
The list goes on.
And getting to that, My lesson from earlier, I don't know the perfect message, and I'm not saying you're saying that either. What I did know is that if we had a candidate for governor in Virginia, something would happen. I didn't know what it was. I didn't know Rob Sarvis personally. Other people make the personal contacts with him. But if Rob hadn't run, and I'm convinced he would not have run if I didn't help recruit him. We had a pack, and I said, we're going to give 15 grand to get petition signatures to get whoever will run for governor in Virginia on the ballot, and or maybe it was 10 grand. He agreed to do it. We wouldn't even be talking about what she might ought to do for this next opportunity if Rob Sarvis had never run in the first place. There are a couple things I really would like, and if probably Michael Cloud or Sharon Harris or someone who will provide this one day, or Arvin Bora or someone. I've been meaning to do this for a decade and haven't gotten to it. But I want to know, I want a pamphlet or a flyer or something. It's just the very first flyer that I can hand people that's most likely to convince them to join the party? I mean, where's the basic flyer you have that hands out? I'm going to make one soon, too, and you're going to get an email about it. We'll probably sell 100,000 of them to activists. We'll put them out. But I doubt it's going to be the great flyer. But I do wish someone would do a marketing study. It's like, I gave you this flyer, I gave you this one, I gave you this one, you know, and I put out 20,000 of each, and two people join with this one and zero with that one or something. I know you're an expert on messaging and all that, but no one has given me the message still. I can do it on a piece of paper. There's a lot of speeches out there. The quiz, probably, I still like the quiz. And so, you know, when I made the door hangers, when I went with my best gut feel, I put the quiz on there. And I'm about to have a sale on those. Just a few days. But to me, that was the best thing, but I don't know that for sure. And maybe blue, red, white, and blue wasn't right or whatever. I wish someone would do some marketing studies and then give me the answers or give other people the answers. Because there's a lot of people willing to do stuff. They're willing to put out flyers, and I'm going with, every time I've made one, I've been going with what my gut tells me, and I'm an engineer. I study processes and like the feedback and measure it. Mm-hmm. Oh, this makes it worse, this makes it better, let's tune that. So I'll put that out there. He won't listen to me if I try and tell him something. If I'm telling him that in front of everybody, he might come back and say, I feel obligated to do something.
To fill you in on this, for years libertarians, we would write up in our own libertarian language, we would write our brochures, the objective reason for supporting libertarians is the non-aggression axiom. Follow me through these equations, please. And we would write, in which is Esperanto for non-aggressors. And we would write these and get no response. And I, like many people, went out and tested a brochure for the Harry Brown campaign, the first one. And I wrote it, and it was Harry's style, and it was Harry's message. And Jack Dean did the graphics. And, God, I was so smart. I was just brilliant. And we handed out 20,000 copies and no one ever called. No one ever wrote. And I'm thinking it was because of the graphics. But the truth is we have to test this stuff. And we don't know. And it may well be that what works in Maryland won't work in Virginia. Or what works for your race won't work for Arvin's. Or what works for his won't work for yours. And so you're right. We've got some testing to do. But I still like the world's smallest political quiz. People like it's fun, and engages people.
I love it. I personally drew this door hanger. It's kind of, I think it's an ugly door hanger in some ways, but it's
I do too.
In other ways. I put the quiz on it, and I put not too much info on the back. But what I found was, as bad as this may be, in Texas, people got 400,000 of these. And I'm sure of all the libertarian brochures and the history of the party in Texas, they probably had maybe 50,000, for the anything of any kind for the decade before that. So it's like, I know with the OK brochure, there's a lot of volunteers out there willing to do something, and I want some marketers to help me optimize this. I made this for Gary Johnson, for our super PAC did this. People put up about 150,000 of these, and I don't know if it was optimized or not, but I know when someone had a door, it was a door hanger, by the way, I chopped the top off, but people are willing to put these up. If you're running for office, make some door hangers, because people can do it on their own time, they don't have to meet with you. I mean, it's great if y'all do it in groups and swarm everything, but some of them will go do it on their own, and you'll find like three guys will do like 20,000 each.
Yeah.
Everyone else will do 100, but those three are going to be great people.
In 2010, I had like no money when I ran for a House delegate. I ordered a whole bunch of those. If you flip it over, you see there's a little space on the top.
Yeah.
I had a stamp made, and it was just my name, what I was running for, and I stamped them.
And
we went and put every one of those door hangers out.
Okay.
And we were like, we couldn't believe how many people actually voted for us, and some people actually said, "Oh, I got your door hanger."
Okay.
And I didn't have anything to do with it except buy it and put a stamp on it.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to try and do more of that, but we still have about 60,000 of these, by the way. But we'll probably upgrade it. Arvin has helped me know that it's not the most graphically beautiful thing, and I'm an engineer.
I think you said butt ugly.
You know?
Oh my God!
Double tear.
But they do work. Brochure beat every brochure.
Exactly.
They do work though, because if people don't answer their door, you just leave it on their doorknob, and you go to the next house. So they do work.
Exactly.
The best teaser ever is you may have already won. Check inside.
So people have made fun of me the entire time I've been a libertarian activist, and I don't really do that much crazy stuff. I occasionally do some crazy stuff, and that's when it's fun. But they've nitpicked and complained. They will do that to you. I used to think there weren't any good libertarian books about the Libertarian Party in general. There's ones about communicating,
right?
Libertarianism. There's lots of good books on libertarianism, the philosophy. There's a few that just barely mention the party.
Right.
But, you know, I set my sights low, or whatever you want to call them. I'm going to write a book that just doesn't suck, that also talks positively about the Libertarian Party. I'm not promising it's going to be great, but I spent about 3 months in the evenings and weekends with another guy who's edited a lot of my stuff, Art Bibiaco. We put together a book, Introduction to the Libertarian Party. I think it is good. I don't think it's great. I don't think it's perfect. And I hope this inspires someone to write a better book, not just about libertarianism,
right,
but also that talks about the party. And this just talks about some of the things I've done, how I got active, some of the mistakes I've made, what I've encouraged other folks to do. I'm not going to sell this book here today, but I will, if people, can I take donations for the Maryland Party in return for this book? Are you opposed to that? What's that? Because I'm going to do that in Texas, and I just wanted to practice here once, and I missed Michael's pitch. And that's the only thing I was looking forward to seeing. If you give $20 to the Libertarian Party of Maryland, well, who should I give it to? You back there, the treasurer? And if you already gave it to them, it's too late. And it's not for your registration fee. It's just for this book. If you give in return for this book $20, I'll give you the book. I donate these. I pay for these. They only cost me a few bucks out of my pocket because I buy them by the tons and I wrote it and I own it. But I give them to the party, and I try to give them to others and let them sell them for donations for the party. So if you're interested in this book, I gave it to a guy who came to the office about a week ago, and I told him the same thing. I was like, I wanted to write a book about the party. He was doing business in D.C., and he said, and he had given $100 to the party once and maybe $50 another time. So I'm like, okay, you want to get active? Well, you can give money, but the other thing you do is run for office or just help other people who are running for office when you get back to your state. Or if you want some other ideas, I wrote this great book. You can have a copy. I'm not saying it's a perfect book. I'm saying it doesn't suck. He got home. And about 2 days later, he sent me an email saying, I read your book. I enjoyed it. It was great. I gave it to my son. And he also gave $250 on the website that same day. He said, you're right. Your book doesn't suck. Very good. Book doesn't suck. $20 to the Libertarian Party of Maryland, and I'll give you a copy of this book. And thanks for having me.
We'll have Arvin.